As you might have noticed, this year we had the first round of frosts for about 20 years, 25 years. They used to be really bad in the 80s, but we had a period when they weren't, and that was basically because we had low sea ice around Antarctica, low levels of it, and we had a minimum period 2 years ago when we had maximum rain. And this year we've had a record-breaking sea ice season right through June, July, August, September, October.
And so that sea ice to the south of Australia means that when those southerlies blew, we got very cold air, does it?
That's right. We get about 2 degrees cooler air than normal, and we also get drier air because you don't get very much evaporation off ice.
All right, so the kind of frost we saw in October might be back again next year.
I believe so. I think this will be an increasing trend over the next decade, and it will become the biggest issue for growing crops in this area.
Oh, really? And given that I forget which research agency I saw is actually researching frost-tolerant cereal varieties, I suppose that other people are onto this as well.
I don't know whether anybody is actually believing me yet. I've been saying for about 5 years now that we're going into global cooling in a big way, and we need to prepare for it. But everybody keeps talking about global warming that finished about 8 years ago.
I think the only thing you and I really do agree on is that there is going to be global climate change. But which way it goes, who knows? Talking of which, you mentioned the sea ice. Is that going to be making a difference on our summer weather, given that we've got both poles at the moment having more ice on them than usual?
Yes. When we've got large areas of sea ice in the Antarctic, we get a very dry summer. So that's what I believe is coming. We've got a window of opportunity of getting some rain next Wednesday, and that seems to be the only window for December. Once that Wednesday rain is finished, we have a really big high pressure coming across, and that looks like it'll wipe out the major rain system that we should have had in December. Then we have a little event coming early in January, and then February and March will be particularly dry before we start to build into better late autumn rains. We should get a good month in June, and after June we'll see the rainfall drop off again, as it did this last spring.
Okay, so dry from middle of December, January, February, March and into April as well.
That's right.
Okay. Is that something that farmers should be concerned about?
The cereal growers will be happy because they won't have too many weeds growing this summer, I don't believe.
And, of course, everyone else, the gardeners and everyone else is thinking, well, at least there's a bit of water in the taps this year.
That's right. Our reservoirs had about half the normal inflow this year than they would normally have in a wet year. And our reservoirs are very close to full because we've used very little water out of them over the last 3 or 4 years. The farmers no longer have the capital to invest in irrigation.
Okay, so it's definitely a changing world in agriculture at the moment. What are some of the other indicators we normally talk about? Where's the El Niño-La Niña cycle at the moment?
Yes, that's very interesting. Over the last 15 months, we've had predominantly cold water up and down the Queensland coastline, and that's been the driver of the big Queensland drought that's up there at the moment, and it's slowly shifting down into Victoria's. And in the last couple of weeks, about 90% of that cold water has disappeared very quickly, which really surprised me. But the overall trend is we're building into an El Niño, right? The cold water in the east of the Pacific is disappearing gradually. And that is part of the minimum declaration cycle of the moon. In 2015, the moon will be going least distance away from the equator on its monthly cycle. And that means it has less ability to pull heat off the equator and take it to the Antarctic or the poles.
So weak air tides is what you're talking
That's
about.
That's right. The air tides are weakening off. They were strongest about 2 years ago when we were having our wettest 2 years on record, and they're very quickly dropping off.
I'm just thinking if only the moon could start moving away a little bit earlier, that'd be nice in some ways, wouldn't it? And the other ones we talk on, and we better talk quickly because time is against us, but over to the west of Australia with, what is it, the Indian Ocean Dipole. Where's that?
That's still very good for Australia. There's a lot of warm water up and down the west coast of Australia, but we don't seem to be getting very much of that across here because we need a really big negative southern oscillation index to draw that moisture across here.
Does it mean good things, though, for Western Australia? They've had a few dry years as well.
Yes, Western Australia's grain harvest this year was one of the better ones I've had for a long time.
Okay, and so what we need is those two dice in some ways to line up. And the other thing too we haven't mentioned, what's the sea surface temperature like up in Central Asia and into China, into the Chinese Sea?
Yeah, I refer to this as the Chinese effect. And for the last 12 months, it's been particularly cold between Japan and New Guinea. And this is just part of the sea surface anomalies that develop. I suppose it could be that maybe China's not producing as much pollution as they used to.
Is it also, yeah, as you say, there are human sort of things you can notice like China, and then there are just things that are happening with things like maybe sea currents and things that just aren't the way that they were 20 years ago?
That's right, and that comes back to the solar energy. The solar energy has been dropping for the last 30, 40 years, and we're now going into a solar minimum, and that changes all sorts of things like jet streams and sea currents.
Okay, which makes your job and everyone else's job predicting more than a week ahead a bit difficult.
It does. It's very challenging.
All right, then. So, look, the only bit of the forecast I'll really hold you to is a bit of rain next week and a dry December, January and February. Okay, Kevin?
That's right, below average.
And if you'd like to see some more of what we're talking about, go to Kevin's webpage, thelongview.com.au. Good to talk to you, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you. See you again in 3 months.